saying that in a large house, we were quoting from somewhere else in Timothy, you're going to have to cope with scaffolding. Who have I got? Jim, could you please go and just find out whether that's Owen and his men or whether it's the JWs and sort of let me know, because I will then exercise my regal authority. 2 weeks ago, we were speaking about that in a large house, in any house, there are all sorts of dishes and bowls of all kinds. And some of them are made for one purpose and some for another. Just show you're mature, you're not a child, you can focus on me, not the scaffolding. I know you're desperate to see what it is. Okay, so just try and ignore that at the moment. Hopefully it's not people stealing the rest of the roof. Right. We are all clay pots, though. You may think you're a wonderful pot, you know, the Rolls Royce of pots. You may think you're nothing very special, but we have a lot in common with one another. And the Bible actually says we're like clay pots. Can I have the scripture up, Jeff? I think it'll ping up. It's Owen. Okay, well, bless him. Well, it's going to be an interesting day. I can tell that from now. Okay. We've got different jobs, we've got different functions, we've got different things to do. Some of you may think you may never be a leader in the church. Some of you may know that you're called to leadership, maybe at this time and not at another. Don't rule out anything from God. But the whole church needs to understand about what leadership is, because as a church, if we're members of this church, we're involved in praying and choosing leaders. You may not yet be a member. Some of you are saying to me you want to talk about what being a member means. But even if you're not yet a member, you need to understand how this church works and about leadership. It's very, very important. And those of you that are members, you really need to understand, and so do I, and be reminded of very important things that are going on. Okay. As followers of Jesus, we're each encouraged, aren't we, to know our own value and our worth. Both our individuality, those things that make us different from people, and also our commonality, those things that make us the same, because we are human beings and we are made in the image of God. Each one of us is unique in some ways, but in other ways, we're not unique. We're just human beings. We're clay pots. Also, as followers of Jesus, we're constantly encouraging one another to know that we're not on our own, that we can find an enabling power in God, and that when we allow God to work in our lives, he will use the gifts that we have and our personalities as they are, and in fact, something very special will happen. And we can't ignore that spiritual factor. And that is intended for every human being, whether they have yet discovered God or not. And these are important principles that we hold together. Why are we looking at this today in actually a service of worship? Well, my answer to you is, why not? Why not do something that is practical and useful and relates to our life together as we come to worship? But the only time I can get to talk to all of you at the moment is actually on a Sunday when we are together. Because often if we ask you to stay, some of you have other commitments, some of you are not well enough to stay for longer, and so on. And so this is the opportunity. And the leaders of the church some years ago committed themselves to once a year talking about the spirituality of leadership. So what it means when we talk about Christian leadership, and particularly about leadership of the church. Some of the principles apply if you lead a small group, or if you run a project, or if you work with children. But we're actually talking today about those who have leadership for the church. And that doesn't mean that the current leadership team chooses the next leadership team. It means that those people who are members, who've committed themselves to pray and work and worship with this church, are all involved in discernment, seeking to know what God is saying, which will involve our minds and our hearts, but also listening to God. Everyone in this church has a responsibility, together with others, to discern together with God, who is to lead for this time. For us, it happens every 2 years. It doesn't need to now on our new constitution. It could happen every 3 years, but at the moment, we are actually working with that model. Of course, if somebody became ill during their time of leadership or something changed in their circumstances, then they can resign. But normally, it's at least a two-year commitment. Each of us who are part of this fellowship needs to know what goes on. The piece of paper you've got, I would far rather in a way you took away with you. I'm just going to put the main headers up on the PowerPoint. I would be sad if you can read or if you can see this if you didn't take it away with you. I have to be honest about that. First point I want to make is there's no blueprint in the New Testament about leadership. You know what a blueprint is? If you were going to make an aircraft or an amazing ship or something like that, or a piece of furniture, you would draw up plans which have to be stuck to or adhered to the letter, all right? But there's nothing like that in the Bible. There is not an exact blueprint of how every church in every situation, in every part of the world, in every day and generation should be led. But there are clear teachings and principles about the sort of character people have to have who are leaders. And those are there to help us. And also, we've had 2,000 plus years of experience about leadership. And so there are things that we can learn about that. Some of the things in the ordinary secular world can be very helpful as well. But of course, we have that big factor as well, don't we, about God's calling, who God is calling at that time to lead as well. Okay, I haven't noted down, which isn't very bright, the numbers of my PowerPoint today. I was sorting out people stealing roofs. Okay. Using the outline of this leaflet, I'm just going to talk a little bit about us as a church. First of all, I think as a church, we know where we're going. We're not always sure how we're going to get there, because that has to be worked out with real people. But we know that we want to and we aim to be and tell good news in the community. That might be this community or our workplace or wherever we are. And we know that to do that, we've got to be a thriving community. We've got to be thriving, not just surviving. So we've got to be a living community of faith and love and service. First point I want to make is when we're thinking about who is going to be a leader in the church, in our context, people are not just deacons. Because we're now a registered charity, they're also trustees. So they combine a role together, which I believe is both of them is to be carried out in a spiritual way. First of all, our leadership team, you actually are a member of a team. So no one person has all the qualities and skills and gifts that are needed. There needs to be that awareness of the team. That's incredibly important. When we're thinking about what sort of spiritual strength is needed, we're actually thinking about a person's spirituality. What is their relationship with God? Where does their strength come from? As Hilary hinted at earlier in the service, if God tells us to be strong, what do we mean? That every deacon has to be able to lift, 50 kilos every morning? No, we're not talking about that sort of strength. We're talking about strength of faith. People who are able to live with uncertainty and change. That's what people of faith are. They're not just people of certainty. They're able to live with uncertainty. And particularly in East London, a lot of uncertainty. Where will the money come from? Where will the volunteers come from? How will we do this? What is God doing? But we live also with certainty, what we know about Jesus Christ. So we are looking for people who have spiritual strength of character. Not perfect people, because then they wouldn't be particularly spiritually strong, would they? If they thought they were perfect. We are talking about people who are servants, not doormats, not people upon whom everybody drops their blame and their bad behaviour, but people who serve the purposes of God with the right attitude and the church. Some of this I'm just going to have to whiz through. Leadership is the responsibility not just of the leaders, but everyone in the church, particularly the members, because they are the ones that choose and call the leaders and seek to support the leaders and make their job easier, not difficult. So leadership's the responsibility of the whole church. I know you know this, but it's good to remember, isn't it? We can't opt out of our responsibility. How do we choose leaders? That's interesting, isn't it? I put some dice up there because we're not just throwing some dice. We're not just taking the church membership directory, putting the pen down and see if it lands on somebody who's got an asterisk next to their name. We don't choose leaders like they did of old by drawing straws or cutting animals in half and seeing what the entrails say. But they do in many parts of the world do exactly that. Right? We are relying on discerning, hearing from the Holy Spirit who God is calling. And yes, we can make mistakes, because sometimes we say to God, "Who are you telling us to choose, God?" We don't hear anything. Or we've got preconceived ideas, or we think we choose somebody we like, or who's been in the church a long time. Or we'll just choose somebody else because there's not enough men on the leadership team, so we'll choose, you know, some man to make up the numbers. You know, we're not into tokenism, although we want representation from groups within the church. We believe that together we can come to a common mind, not just you getting it right, not just me getting it right and hinting strongly at the church members' meeting, but that we come together having prayed, having asked God, to actually just show a way, because it's better and more secretive, we write it on a piece of paper, we mark down, but that together we will discern who at this time will be the team of people that lead. We're not saying, "Oh, last time I put so-and-so's name down and I'm really sick that they weren't elected." Well, tough. If that wasn't the mind of the church members' meeting, then we believe that's what God wants. Right? The people we chose didn't get forward. Okay. Because we all respect what we are as members and one another. It isn't fixed, I can tell you that. If it is, you'll have to see a man then. Because the members count it. You know, it's not fixed. It's not set in stone. When we're thinking about the purpose of the job, because every job has to have a purpose, we need to understand what it is, isn't it? We need to see that we need a team who are both practical and spiritual. I don't mean that some people are practical and some are spiritual. I mean that those come in combination and mix together. And there's no point in having somebody on the deacon's team that's totally practical but never prays. You know, go off and lead a DIY workshop. You know, this is not about that. And there's no point in having somebody who only ever prays and isn't prepared to muck in and change the loo rolls. I got in such a state yesterday about the roof that when I went to change the loo rolls because we'd run out, I dropped one down the toilet. There's nothing worse, is there? Even if the toilet's clean, you think, do I keep this, don't I? Do I throw it away? So it's in my loo drying out. You haven't got to lose it. But, you know, practical and spiritual, they were together in Jesus, and he's the one we're looking at, aren't we, for all the clues. Okay, we know that the word means servant, but it isn't a doormat. So we need people that are able to work together with others in the church, not just the leaders, but it includes the leaders, in working towards the church growing and thriving. Community is dying around us. Lola was hinting at that. But if we can model something about community, and not just us, but work with all the groups out there that are trying to do it as well, so local schools and other people, then we can actually offer something. See how they love one another. Working with others for a thriving church community. Each deacon actually is involved in planning and delivering and giving direction to the church. That's what the church members' meeting has asked them to do, and they're seeking to do that. The other thing is that nowadays, We've always had this responsibility as deacons before, but it's underlined now that we are a registered charity. We have a legal and financial responsibility as leaders of the church. So I've put together here, we're involved in the direction and guidance and leading of the church, but there is also a legal requirement. And Jesus is very clear that we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and that we fulfill the conditions of the law of the land, unless they're in contradiction to God. So charities were under scrutiny, and I'm delighted. You know, churches can't run off with the money or give it to their leader for a Rolls Royce or a holiday, you know, somewhere. Okay? When we're thinking about the general responsibilities rather than the particular ones, I can't list all of them. But people are part of a team, and let me suggest some of the things they do. The deacons' team amongst themselves need to have a knowledge of the members and friends of this church. They will be involved, all deacons, in visiting, texting, and speaking to different members of the church. Not every deacon will visit you, but you each will know, I believe, one on our leadership team. We are involved in enabling the church to discover how we can be this thriving community. All deacons are involved in the prayer breakfasts and the flame events, and they're told when they come onto the diaconate, you are expected to be at those to model something that other people can follow. Deacons are hopefully involved in motivating the church community. Now, loads of people will be involved in that. People may come off the leadership team for a time. One example of that is Jeff, who came off the leadership team to spend time on the Olympics. Other deacons are leaving the leadership team this time. So both Jim and Amanda have resigned this time because of other commitments and responsibilities. So the leadership team doesn't stay the same. It may be because in Jim's case, he's taken on a more senior management role at work, and he's out there involved in Phoenix Coffee Shop. Do pray for them. They need total rewiring and internet connections. Whoever put it together has just bungled the lot, so pray for them. Deacons are people who can listen and recognise that there are matters which require attention, that people are upset about or that need sorting about, and those can be brought to the church members' meeting or to the leaders' meeting. Sometimes a deacon, usually with a church member, visits those who are thinking about becoming members. Deacons are very important in encouraging and enabling me to do my job. Deacons are required to give me the resources that I need to help lead a team of people who are making a thriving church. Now, I'm accountable to the church members' meeting, but it's the deacons that I am often very indebted to. Because they enable me to do the job you've given me to do. We have to manage and review the income and expenditure of the church, and that's a very onerous responsibility for most of us, because most of us are not financial people, and it is complex, as you know. But we have that responsibility, and so we have to have the ability to look and learn and listen. Hillary had to learn that on the job, didn't you, Hillary, really? From being a basic good household manager and somebody who learnt finance skills through work, she had to grow in that role as the treasurer, and others have to grow in their role. Deacons have to be willing to make their time available and share their gifts and their personal resources, especially being hospitable people, welcoming stranger. So there are some general responsibilities. And they're going to have to attend quite a lot of meetings. They might even need to represent this church locally or nationally to go to an assembly for us and things like that. Every month they have a deacon's meeting for at least 2.5 hours. They have a monthly prayer morning where they pray for the work of this church and a leader's residential away. There's a big commitment at the end of a busy day to people who are leaders. And that frightens some people because they really think, well, with work or with work and family or whatever, can I do this at this time? And it's not always possible for that to continue, but it's something people have to weigh and think about. But as well as the general things that deacons do, some of which are the things that every church member has to do, so the basic requirement of a leader is that they're already doing the things that a committed church member does, they have to do things in addition and be available for. And we now ask that each deacon takes a responsibility for a work area, not just the church secretary or the church treasurer, but that every deacon has a responsibility in a particular area. And they're going to be people that have the privilege, and every time a deacon does it, I think they take a deep breath. How can I serve other people? But they're reminded all the time, when you come to a communion meal, you're not up there showing off. You're actually putting on an apron and going out to wash people's feet. That's why in this church, it's not just the minister that serves. In fact, the minister receives, as every other member, from the deacons. And they're modelling Jesus, going out and serving. So it's very important for us. Okay, special responsibilities. You may know this, and I'm going to ask the deacons that currently have these roles to stand up so that we can be pretty practical. I've jammed again. Okay. Amanda's not here, but her role is that of administration, the church secretary, but you have to know she's in there. Jim, could you stand up? Jim has been responsible. His special area is for buildings, not just their maintenance and care, but their development as well. So Jim is there. He's currently a leader through to November, and then he's coming off the leadership team. He's going to be doing other things. Thank you, Jim. Youth and children is John. This is because we have so many people. Would you like to stand up? If you see him from the front and the back, you'll get a different view from him. This is John. The picture on the web page, I have to say, is not becoming. You're better looking than that, mate. I don't want you to go home feeling negative about yourself. Yes, John is responsible for children. If you see it, you'll be crying. Creative worship, sitting next to him, because we have to balance these things out, is Liz. And she's responsible for not just doing all the creative worship, but trying to promote that and get people involved. If you look at Hilary over there, she's the tall one, you know, with dark hair. This is Hilary, who's responsible for finance. Oh, she's going near the microphone, so she's going to sing to us as well. Singing is for fun, okay, so that's Hilary. If you look at Becky, Becky's responsible for welcome and hospitality, which we're just trying to develop all the time. So you'll have seen Becky sort of rushing around and encouraging all of you. When you get the phone call, you know what it means, don't you? Could you cook some jollof rice? Can you do a salad? Can you? And welcoming strangers and new people. So that's Becky. Pauline is down with the young people, bless her. And Pauline is responsible for developing projects and events. So Pauline's been very involved in helping plan the church weekend with Mary and I. So Pauline is involved in that and brings a lot of her work skills in. My responsibilities are to lead the team as well as being the pastor, and particularly Sunday in the round, this whole experience that has grown to where we're at now over the last 27 years, I suppose. Communications, it's that lady over there, you know, Helen. And so she's promoting wherever she can, but it's not just her, better signage and letting people know what's happening and communications within the church. I pointed these people out just because we need to know who they are, but also we have five available positions. Three people are standing again, but those of you who are members know and are praying, and Amanda will have spare sheets for you. This picture I put up here is the best I could find to show that a leadership team needs to be representative of different adults in the church and their backgrounds. And I know you're going to say, but there's not somebody there who's disabled or whatever. We don't know. We're not trying, though, for tokenism. We're trying to be representative of the church that we have, but ask God who those people are. They need to know they're there, not because they represent just one group. That's important, but also that they're there because God has called them. Thank you. Leaders need to grow and change. If you like Roseanne Barr, you'll be aware that when she's complimented on her husband, she says, and Jeff always quotes this, when somebody say, oh, what a wonderful husband you've got, or what a wonderful wife you've got, or that friend is great, you know, or aren't you lovely, you know, you or whatever, whoever you are. She says in her American accent, which I'm sure I shouldn't use, she says, oh, gee, didn't come in a box like that, you know. I had to make him, you know. That leaders are in formation. They don't come perfect. They have got their own characters. Some of them are hard centres. Some of them are soft centres. Some of them are milk chocolate. Some of them are dark chocolate. They're all different, okay? Some of them are white chocolate. I'm not using that racially because I'll probably be wrapped, but they're all different, okay? And they are growing and changing. And when they come, they're very raw onto the leadership team. And when they leave, they're just beautifully polished. Well, not really. But, okay? They need those certain things, but they're in formation. We need to pray and choose people who have ideas and hopes for VPBC. If you never see them at the church, don't put their name down. If they don't come to the prayer meeting, consider seriously, to be honest, really. You know, they might be a great person. They might have a big bank balance and it's tempting, but don't. Okay? Not just a member, but somebody who's demonstrating that they're growing, that they're open, that they're transparent, they're honest people. They've not got hidden secrets that they're keeping from everybody. They have a private life, personal life, but they're transparent. That they're faithful in church matters, and the respect is shown to them by non-Christians. The Bible's very clear that we need people who are on leadership teams who are respected by people who are not Christians. It's quite a test, isn't it? They may not like you, but they respect you because you are a Christian. Potentially that they're people who could lead others to use their gifts. That there's a willingness to learn about the area in which this church is, the needs of local people. And at work, they're concerned about others. You say, but we all need to be like that as Christians. Yes, we do. But not everybody who has some of these qualities is called at that time to be a leader. Evidence of the ability to encourage others, listening, good communication, and positive relationships. Let me tell you, I've said to many people in this church, when they've come to me and said, do you think God's calling me onto the leadership team? I always say to them, what do you think? You know, and listen to them. Well, I do now. I'm working on it. But sometimes I'll say, don't become a leader. Because all of your relationships you've got at the moment, you know, that God is making fruitful, you won't have time for that necessarily. Or you're creative, and actually, we don't need you on the leadership team at the moment. We've got enough creative people. But your creativity could actually be stifled. So think about it. Okay, so just because someone's gifted in one area doesn't mean that it's the right time necessarily. You say you're labouring the point. Yes, I am. Because once a year, we need to really think about these things. It's so important. If we get the wrong team of leaders, we can just stagnate. All right, we want to thrive. Evidence of friendliness and hospitality. Somebody can be quiet and introverted and still a leader, a reflective person, but they are hospitable to strangers. They can cope with the representation of East London. Okay? They're happy in their own skin and they love people. Okay? Evidence of integrity of life, gentleness. You know, they've got to have their life together. As the Bible passage says, they're not binge drinkers. They're not going into multiple relationships. They respect marriage. They're celibate outside of marriage. You know, these are the people that we need. That they're single people are happy in the skin. that they're in. Planning skills, organisation skills, that there are some people on the team that can do that. Some people that can communicate really well, in our case, using modern technology as well as relational work. And a commitment to equal opportunities for all people and all backgrounds. As a church, we are very committed to that because we believe God is committed to that. I'm going to ping those up, and there's one last thing, and then you've probably done lots of work. I couldn't think what images to use. Leaders need to grow and change. There needs to be evidence that they are thriving and they want this community to thrive. But they also need to be those that accept accountability. You remember the phrase, I am a man under authority, you know, and I understand that. They have to have a humility and know that they need to be accountable. Now, everyone, when they become a church member, says, I am accountable to the church members' meeting. So if they haul me up for something that's going wrong, so I am, and we all are. But we need to be accountable to others. So I put two people working together. The younger, perhaps learning from the older, that companionship together. And I put the outstretched hand, knowing that we are all children in the faith and that we are accountable to God. We need to know that the leaders of this church are accountable to God and that we will answer and the deacons will answer to God for the way we cope with the struggle, the joys, the difficulties. We're accountable to one another relationally on the team and also to the church members' meeting. The church members' meeting can say to us, how are you managing the money of this church? And we have to explain what's happening and give account. Why are we doing that? Why have we stopped doing this? Should we be doing this? But also, we are accountable to the Charity Commission, to law, for the way that we conduct the affairs of this church. I don't see that that will cramp our style in any way. Jesus was prepared to be accountable as well. So leaders need to be those that are able to listen to other people saying, you need to think about how you do that. Now, this is quite a long session, but it has a reason and a purpose behind it. So that we can be in prayer, we may be nominated. We may be nominating other people today, but it's something that we need to get absolutely right. So we're just going to be still and quiet. I know that the time has gone, I understand that. But I just like us in silence to commit the future of this church to God.